The University Tower chimes ring another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm talking to you. You match wits with us. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my left, a guest, Mr. Nico Seymour, who is going to be head pastry chef at Chef's Table in Farmington Hills. What are you looking forward to most when it comes to getting a brand new job like that?
Well, it's exciting because I really do get to start from square one with a lot of things, and my partner is brilliant and talented too, and it sounds like we're going to have a great collaboration.
So I'm going to create the dessert menu?
In collaboration with my partner,
What's
yes.
your favorite thing to make?
Mostly, I've been doing a lot of chocolate the last year or so, and the couple years before that, quite a bit of bread, so... Something along
something,
those lines.
Okay.
Something in between bread and chocolate, perhaps.
Could be a chocolate croissant. You know?
Exactly what I was thinking, yes.
Very cool. But,
great minds.
Very cool.
Thank you. It's always fun to be on the show and just remind myself that I have the least amount of college time of anyone else in this room. I didn't say it was less valid, my associate's degree, but in my profession, that is as high as you can go. So... it's just as good.
We're glad to have you.
Thank you.
Professor Dave Chow is here from the College for Creative Studies.
Pleasure to be here, and just as less educated as you, too. So,
all right. We're keep it simple over this side of the table.
You have a BFA from CCA. Okay.
Yes. Not in my field, either.
Really?
Who cares?
Yeah, I'm a graphic design major. I got kicked out of illustration.
Well, I have to bring this up because it's going to make one person at this table very, very happy. The NSF, the National Science Foundation of the United States of America, just published a study today to find key factors that predict success of students in chemical graduate school. And there was one that stuck out like such a sore thumb, they had to make it the tease from the Twitter account, being a music major.
Band camp people, right?
Well, but the music math connection is really well established.
Absolutely.
So
but I think that the thing that helps you in chemical sciences, and I think furthering on, is the discipline that comes from music.
Sure.
I mean, being a music major, I mean, bare minimum, even just going to all your ensembles is like 5 hours a day, and then you're supposed to practice hours on top of that. And if you've already been taking all your labs, you're basically in school and working hard all day long every day.
Were you a music major?
I was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you play?
You clarinet, like my compadre across the table.
Awesome.
Professor
the clarinet
Conan.
Twins.
Let's see.
Compatriot across the table being Professor Stephanie Conan from biology.
Hello.
Who also plays clarinet.
Were you skipping Dan?
No.
We're going this way. I'm sorry.
Wrong way.
My bad.
Not skipping biology major.
That's right.
Look. Whenever I see you or Heather or other notables on their phone, I just assume you're answering a very important email. I did not want to disturb you.
Yes. Or looking up a restaurant in Traverse City.
And nacho chips.
Okay.
It was a BLT made with waffles and green tomatoes.
Wow.
It was delicious.
I was actually looking up the link to our segment on
Under the Radar. Michigan.
So I was doing something relevant to our time together.
That's fine. No, I did. You know, I'm.
It's not like I was doing my math homework in English class.
Oh, stop.
The Shakespeare in Detroit looked really cool.
Yeah, it did.
I'd be down for watching some of that.
Yeah, check out our friends in Under the Radar Michigan online. Great episodes from all over the state. In their new season of 13 episodes, we were featured in the second of those. So
they did one on Beaver Island last year, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Mm. They have inspired me to check out Les Chenaux this summer, and I simply cannot wait to check out the east coast of the Upper Peninsula. Professor Dan Maggio is here from the First Organization. Thanks again for bringing the treats.
Sure. Thanks for taking them off my plate, so to speak.
Or off your waist.
Yeah. Sorry I couldn't make
the... a collective food dump for Dan, which we're happy to be.
Sounds like you had a very, very successful, I nearly said Twitter party. Of course, I meant...
curling party.
Curling party.
It went very well. It was fun.
It did.
I'll keep doing it. You all come
they tweeted
one day.
The
it's cool.
whole time.
Professor Kendra Evans is here from Chemistry and Biochemistry. She plays clarinet, majored in music, and got a PhD in chemistry.
Thank you for that introduction.
What a resume.
I thought that it was fantastic, and it served exactly the sort of 140 characters tease that any NSF study ever could. It was like, this just in, music majors are the most successful in chemical graduate school.
I'm going to have to check out that article and send it to all my music faculty. They'll be so glad to hear it. Because I'm pretty sure they have not been reading the NSF articles. So
why do I have the feeling next week Kendra's going to be like doing like marching band in her class or something like that?
It's never happened.
Yet.
Yet. Yeah. But I do point out that instruments, chemical instrumentation are instruments, just like a violin or a clarinet is an instrument, rather than a machine, Professor Mayo.
Oh, yes. I have noticed more often our colleague Kate Lanigan, frankly, petting the instrument, talking to it, telling it to give good data.
Okay, that's kind of vaguely creepy.
Vaguely? No, it's nothing vague about it. I mean, Heather's over there getting squeamish.
Not at all vaguely creepy. Professor Beth Oljar is here from philosophy.
I do not do that to Venn diagrams. I mean, I don't.
You do not. You do it to your babies, though.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's true. To my little furred babies.
Fur babies, yes. So, let's see. What do we have here? We did the red sweater thing. So...
What instrument did you play?
Oh, yeah. What instrument did you play? There you go.
Recorder in fourth grade that everybody learned.
Okay.
I sang in the chorus.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Speaking as a fellow vocalist, that's kind of nice. It's the reason why I'm losing my voice, right? We'll see if that works as an explanation. Professor Heather Hill-Vasquez is here from the Department of English.
I'm still stuck on stroking the instruments.
Oh, well, that's the truth.
I stand by my colleague, Professor Lanigan. When you are in desperate need of the proper data, please, and that instrument is so finicky,
I talk to my bread all the time. The yeast waits for no one, and it's what you have to do.
Well, I talk to my plants.
They are perceptive. Bro. You got to get on those Venn diagrams. Right? It's going to change your whole way of thinking.
I saw a great T-shirt that had it was just a two-circle Venn, right, like for a proposition instead of for a syllogism. And in one circle it said, people who understand Venn diagrams, people with a sense of humor, and then in the intersection, people who get this T-shirt. People who get this joke or something.
Perfectly true. Yeah. I think of you every year because I have a very short set of funny images that I include in my visual quizzes for my students. And the Venn diagram this morning was, if you can picture this, the left circle had a beaver playing guitar. And the right circle had a duck playing keyboard. In the middle was a platypus playing a guitar.
I could draw that.
Shut it down.
Absolutely.
The platypus is definite proof that God has a sense of humor.
Absolutely.
Or at least knowledge of Venn diagrams.
Yeah. I hate to say it, but that sounds like the final that I have in my storyboard class.
Nice.
But the one
thing
is, I have my students drawing on bar napkins.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that one. I remember that.
Bar napkins.
Evolutionarily strange.
Yeah. Folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding evolutionarily anything. If you can stump the panel, you win a prize. And if you don't stump the panel, you win a prize. Send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp or find us on Facebook. Submitted 12-5. Dear professors, once again, my schedule keeps me away from our recording session. I'm here with you in spirit and this list of questions. With final exams fast approaching, remember, December, here are some questions about tests. Let's see how you do. 80% is a passing grade. Yours truly, Jason Roach.
Oh, I was going to say
him.
Jason?
Aye.
The Department of Communication Studies. Now, he's on leave this semester. Do I have that correct?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Because he has a new child who is adorable. Absolutely. If you haven't seen the pictures, that kid is just ridiculously good looking.
I fear for my life.
I cannot help, and I know the people with children at the table are going to think about this. He posted something over the holidays about... our son just yelled no back at us, and we just think it's the cutest thing ever. And it took a lot of willpower to not reply to that with a comment of, for about 10 seconds, this is going to be funny to you.
Yeah.
And then it's
just
going
you
to
wait
be,
until
just you wait.
Go, you know it yourself, but they're out.
I'm definitely feeling, and I know Professor Conan, because you also have three boys, the youngest one just absorbs everything from the older brothers.
Oh, yeah.
Last night we were at a swim meet. My 13-year-old is swimming. The other one's a 9-year-old's reading a book. And Emmett's next to me. He just won't sit down. So I keep grabbing him by the hips and planting his butt next to me. And he leans over to me, just very dulcet tones. Dad, I hate you. So I grabbed him by the shoulder
my
and dragged him out of the room. He's like, yep, that's Nico's godson. Well done.
Did you really?
Thank you.
Did you really?
I grabbed him out of the room. I was like, that. I mean, the last thing I need is a note coming from the teacher saying, this is what he said today. He already tells them that his hands are broken, which is what Leslie says when she doesn't want to help him clean up. But now that's what he says when he doesn't want to clean up. So that's not helping anybody either. Kids are sponges. Okay.
He's going to be witty, though.
Have evolved like a virus.
So I related to the fact of kids picking stuff up from each other. So do spouses.
In fact, absolutely.
I've decided that there is a specific biological principle at work, the PMO, the principle of marital osmosis, which explains how you know about stuff that your spouse is interested in that you have no interest in.
Because so like, I never shut up about it.
Well, because like I know a lot about soccer without being particularly interested in soccer. Yeah.
Wait a minute. All this time I thought my wife was psychic.
Wow.
Nope.
This kind of test, professors, is used to compare two means or test whether proportions are equal to each other.
A T-test.
A T-test is what it's called, yes.
Is that unpaired or paired?
It does not give any further data. This kind of test can be used to measure the moral fitness of a politician or the acidity of an aqueous solution.
Litmus?
A litmus test. Litmus paper back in the old days.
They were delicious.
This kind of
sorry.
They're laxative, for God's sake.
Oh, oops.
This kind of test is used to identify personality types.
Myers-Briggs.
The Myers-Briggs. I'm an INTJ.
INFJ.
That must be why we get along. I'm a T and you're an F.
N-C-U-T-E.
I know mine starts with an I.
Introvert. It's what the I is for.
Intuitive.
Or ingrate. Or
thinking. Judgment.
Ingrate.
I did do that test.
Did you?
I think I'm an E.
It's an involved test.
It is. It takes
very hardcore.
And you can change over time.
Absolutely.
Especially when you've been married to a certain type.
There's hope.
PMO. This type of test can measure whether you are suited for a particular career or a particular field of study.
Oh, the thing we all had to do in high school.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They used to call it, do you remember?
Officer.
I remember you saying that.
I'm sure that's what you think when you look at me.
Is there a difference?
There's just
the magic eight ball.
Yeah.
No?
What do you remember what they used to call it?
No.
The... As always.
No, not the PSAT.
I cannot. Yes, you got it. It's aptitude test.
She said it, but that sounded right.
My confidence.
But the classic, remember all these older Gen Xers writing for The Simpsons, and Bart Simpson in the fourth grade was taking the aptitude test, and the first question was, do you identify more with a nurse shark, a carpenter ant? This type of test analyzes the readiness of a developer's software and is usually conducted by an end user on site.
Oh. Alpha test?
That's the alpha test, yes. The beta test is
a surprise beta test.
This type of test involves analysis of genetic material. Is often seen on TV shows like Maury Povich.
Oh,
no. DNA?
DNA test or PCR?
Paternity test,
yes.
Oh, Maury.
According to the test, you are...
Not the father.
Thank goodness.
That's impossible.
Or the mother.
No, Luke, I am your father.
Your parents found you under a rock.
My parents always told my brother they found him underneath a cabbage leaf.
Really? Like a Cabbage Patch Kid?
No. No, it was to scare him as a little kid for whatever reason.
Oh, good.
That's a phrase.
You're a vegetable.
Be thankful we are one step faster than that couple.
This type of test involves removal of tissue to study under a microscope.
A biopsy.
This type of market research asks respondents to respond to an individual concept or product.
Focus testing.
You know, that sounds good, but it doesn't say that here. And I've heard this term before, but very sparingly. I feel like it's named after the person who decided to do that kind of market research. It says it's a monadic test, as if that person's last name was used.
Just the fact that if you do it with
a blind taste person, or
I think one product, is that the idea?
Maybe.
Well, I've been in on some.
The monadic predicate in logic is just predicate.
Well, there you go. That's probably what it means, then. Back in the day when we used to hang out at the mall, I was at Oakland Mall, and I got pulled aside to look at some mints. and they were shaped like little diamonds. I thought they were the coolest thing ever in, you know, a pre-bejeweled world. And my buddy had gone along with me, and we got sent to another room. And he goes, I'm not eating those things. They're going to, like, rip my mouth to shreds. And I'm like, oh, the world is made of many different viewpoints.
Matt Miles.
Yes, this type of test is used to measure a machine's ability to exhibit intelligent behavior.
Oh, the Turing test.
Which it doesn't.
Which it does not.
Good movie.
Good movie. Weird test.
Great movie.
We usually think of this kind of test as being just for dummies.
One
IQ? Exams?
Oh, I'm surprised.
Just for dummies?
Just assume that you guys would get this one in 2 seconds.
Yeah, we feel like dummies.
We failed.
Is this a Stanford Binet? Is that the...
How about a crash test?
Oh, it's a Jason question.
I forgot these were from Jason.
Professor Roach is obsessed with puns, so we have to keep
obsessed is such a horrible word. Like, beleaguered with, maybe.
Before what's usually referred to as EBT, this was an early method for determining whether a woman was pregnant or not.
The rabbit test.
Which was also what they called it.
Wasn't that Billy Crystal movie back
Billy
in the
Crystal
day?
Billy Crystal movie, yes.
Can you explain the biology behind that?
I don't know what it is.
The rabbit test?
The old test?
But they have to take out a rabbit.
Something if the rabbit died, you're pregnant, right? So yeah. Maybe it reacts to age human.
Maybe something in it that reacts.
Chorionic.
When a woman's pregnant.
Anisotropin? But I don't know.
I don't know.
There are rabbits in all those pregnancy tests. Right in the little stick. They've got rabbit fur.
Are you going to Google it?
And then Bugs Bunny says, thumbs up, you're pregnant.
Remember that episode of MASH?
Yeah, that's what Margaret, I remember. Yeah. Margaret thinks she's pregnant. Yeah.
And then Radar doesn't want to give up one of his rabbits.
Oh.
It does, but...
Yes.
This is a commonly known projective psychological test that analyzes responses to symmetric visual stimuli.
Rorschach test.
Arnold Rorschach test.
Oh, you know what it is? It is HCG, but they would inject the urine into the rabbit, and their ovaries would enlarge.
Oh, wow.
If they were pregnant. Because of the chemical.
So the HCG would make the rabbit's
ovaries.
Wow.
Thank you.
Weird.
Thanks, Wikipedia.
The answers to this test are EFPTOZ.
Eye test.
Yep, the vision test in the United States of America, of course. Give you the answers ahead of time.
I've always wondered, how they do that in Asia?
They have their own symbols.
You have to really...
You're asking us?
How do they do in Canada?
Yeah.
It always ends in A, that's all. So, I mean...
A,
so it's A.
They're letter-shaped Timbits. Let's see here. How about the NCLEX? NCLEX is a test for licensing professionals in what field?
Oh, nursing.
Nursing, yeah. Absolutely. Wow.
Thank you, MFA.
We talk about NCLEX all the time, don't we? Praxis is a similar test.
Education.
Used for licensing professionals in the field of education.
Wait a minute. Yes. Wasn't this like one of the moons on Kronos on Star Trek or something like that?
It's a term from Marx.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Praxis.
Karl Marx uses that term.
Oh my gosh, you guys are crazy.
To describe.
We're just a little Star Trek geeky here. That's awesome.
That's all right. That's
I was going to say something, but I didn't want to appear.
I'll be geeky for him.
Praxis is the transformation of the world to make it meet human needs, according to Marx.
I
wonder how that relates back to the test to educate K through 12 students.
I thought it was an anagram.
How about all of these tests together measure something? What is it? Woodcock Johnson, Weckler, Stanford Binet, Otis Lennon, intelligence. Some better than others.
Excellent. And then you get your number and you get to be happy about it for life.
Or be concerned.
This kind
of become a mortician.
This kind of test puts a bunch of people together in a room to discuss a topic amongst themselves.
This is called Ask the Professor.
Basically. Yes. Yeah, that's true.
This test puts...
Yes, I mean, we've already mentioned it here. It's less of a test and more of a... Yeah.
Group therapy.
Group is in the title, yeah.
Okay.
We were talking about it in terms of marketing previously.
Group focus testing or
focus,
something?
Focus group. Yeah, Dan. Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Fluorescence in situ hybridization, also known as a fish test, is from what field?
Biology?
Yes.
Anybody's more specific than biology.
Well, she's half of it.
Genetics?
Yeah, it says genetics.
Oh, ichthyology.
Herpetology. No. It's used to detect and locate specific DNA sequences. Yes. And if you don't know what CRISPR means, you better start reading up right now, because designer organisms are coming soon.
I want my designer jeans.
CRISPR jeans.
Last but most certainly not least, a flexural strength test is frequently used in what field?
Engineering. Yeah. Civil engineering.
Mechanical engineering.
Civil or mechanical engineering measures a material's ability to resist deformation under load.
There's a test that I'm forgetting the name of. It starts with an R, and my brother would totally know it. And you apply it to movies or stories or things. Is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah, about does it have enough female characters? Yeah. It's three questions. Does it have more than one? Do they have a conversation? And do they talk about something other than a male? And you would be astounded at how many movies fail that test.
No, I wouldn't, actually.
All right.
Well, tell you what. You guys can think
about
it.
We teach in women and gender studies.
That's while we take a break. And we are back. And Heather had something she was going to say about the Bechdel test.
She also wrote, I believe, Funhouse, right? The play.
Mm-hmm.
The play. Right? Because it's based upon a graphic novel. I think it's playing right now in the Detroit area.
Okay.
It's about her relationship with her father and who comes out later in life. And
Gina Davis wrote this?
No. Allison Bechdel.
Sorry.
Bechdel. Yeah, where the name comes from.
Yes.
Somebody told me something very elegant about a year ago. So Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens, actually passes the Bechdel test. If you suspend your disbelief for one of the CGI characters voiced by Lupita Nyong'o having a conversation with the main character, Rey. So that is out of the ordinary for a Star Wars movie. Dear professors, when I lived in L.A., I listened to your show on K-Earth until it went off the air. I didn't know the show was still on the air until I did a Google search. I was pleasantly surprised to find it has the same sense of humor, though it has a new cast of characters. I would like to tell you that I miss Professor DeWin, Professor Bush, and Professor Pickering, and I'd like you to know, Judy, that we also miss all those people. I always thought your show was a fun blend of humor, knowledge, and commentary on pop culture. I just moved to Dallas, and with the magic of podcasts, I'll be sure to listen in more often and submit more questions in the future. Attached are 22 questions for your fine show. Sincerely, Judy Palmer of Dallas, Texas.
First question submitter.
That's fantastic.
Thanks, Judy.
Do we have the pin? Is that in the Dallas area?
It looks like Dallas.
I don't know, is it?
Looks like Dallas.
But there are people listening to us there.
Do we know where Dallas is?
What's a Dallas?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right.
Conway.
You got a pin up there.
What is the most common gas in the atmosphere of the Earth?
Nitrogen.
It's N2.
Sorry. Not a chemist.
I couldn't tell if somebody was saying nitrogen or hydrogen. Yeah, I couldn't write the whole
Sorry.
I thought, that's right.
My ears are confusing. My brain.
So is hydrogen more plentiful than nitrogen and not a gas, or just nitrogen is more plentiful?
Nitrogen is more plentiful. Hydrogen is a gas.
Inbound, 72%.
Hydrogen is very flammable, so it's a good thing it's not the majority of our atmosphere.
Right.
So.
I was thinking about that, actually, as I said, but I'm in the right place.
There are no stupid questions.
If nitrogen is so abundant, why aren't we using it more?
The bonds, Nico was pointing out, I said, what is it called when there's only two atoms in a thing? Diatomic. The bonds are exceptionally strong, and you'd have to put in a lot of energy to get them to do other things. As a matter of fact, the most important modern chemical process, you can be with me here, Kendra, the Haber process, invented by Fritz Haber during World War II, was a way to fix nitrogen to plants because we had cut off all of the explosive nitrogen nitro compounds that Germany needed to make ordnance by making a blockade, and so they forced all of their chemists to invent a process to take it from the air and turn it into something that get into the ground.
And the Hindenburg blew up.
And that's where we got fertilizer.
Yeah, basically that's where we got fertilizer.
So nitrogen... Entropic? Does it have a lot of entropy? I mean, if it were put in, or am I just totally out of it?
No. I mean, I think a lot of compounds would fit that category. Okay. But currently, in the form that it's all around us, it's just exceptionally stable.
Okay.
Doesn't react with things, doesn't do really much.
Okay. So it lacks entropy? Or it has...
Usually you talk about chill. Entropy and changes.
Yeah, processes. Yeah.
Moving from colder to warm back and forth.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it.
Okay.
It is reactive with metallic lithium. I know everybody in the film is going to test that out tonight.
I have some in my office, actually.
Probably only those of us who carry pocket-sized copies of the periodic table of elements in their wallet.
True that.
What do you think I got my copy for?
Of course.
I have my periodic table from Honors Chemistry on my wall.
You know, we just discovered element 118.
It's missing some elements.
We just had the final names of the last four elements that round out the table up to 118, named at the end of the last year.
My copy only has 72.
Mine
doesn't have a 7.
Cal Ripken's consecutive game streak of games started in Major League Baseball started in May 30th of what year?
Oh, 80 something.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, you're right on top of it. 87?
No.
82 is what it says here. 82, but I'm giving you the partial credit.
Baltimore?
Yes, Orioles. Yes. Orioles. During the 1980s, this singer-songwriter was considered the poet laureate of the great state of Colorado.
John Denver.
John Denver was.
He was born in the summer of his 27th year.
God rest his soul.
Some of his songs are
Rocky Mountain Road.
They are the most incredible. I actually really like his music. I know
it's unfortunate. His voice is a little scratchy, but his songs are so good. The lyrics are so good.
Yeah, they are.
Aspenglow. Basically, Ron Aspenglow.
Right.
So, Aspenglow. Yeah, that is actually one of my favorite songs.
I'm still thinking Calypso.
Oh, that's a good tune.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What river flows through the total most European countries?
The Danube.
The Danube is what it says here. The Danube. If Jim were here and... His tour of the Danube.
He's cruising it right now. So
didn't we just have a question on the major cities that the Danube flows through?
Yeah, I think. We did.
Yeah, it was a couple. Episodes
before.
Yeah,
weeks ago. Yeah, no, wasn't all the countries?
Was it like 21 or something? Something ridiculous number.
Beth got a lot of those right too.
Yeah, she knows her Danube.
She knows her Danube.
What were the names of Lyndon Baines Johnson? Of course, Lady Bird Johnson's two daughters.
Linda.
Lucy, wasn't it?
Lucy.
And Linda. Actually, yeah, you guys got it. Yeah. Lucy and Linda Bird.
Linda Bird. We were going to name her Linda Dog, but that seemed too cruel.
For the dogs. Oh.
Which sporting event of Jesse Owens held the world record from 1935 to 1960? That's a long time.
Long jump.
It was.
Okay. One of the jumps.
The recent movie about him was really good. It's called Race.
Race, yeah. Right. That's right. That's right.
And the German athlete that he actually becomes really good friends with, it was cool. Yep. Yeah.
I just saw, and I know what happens, it's like the changing of the guard, horrible follow-up news report after the first of the year on the state of Rio's Olympic facilities. It makes the Silver Dome look like it's well put together. That's all. Everything is already completely decrepit and abandoned. I'm just like, I don't get it.
See, why I almost kind of wish they would just have the Olympics at one place instead of building new arenas that will fall apart.
Yeah.
Like
this whole guitar thing is really pushing a lot of people's buttons.
Well, that actually ends up costing the cities like a ton more money than they end up taking in.
The bottom line is building this World Cup venue in Qatar has resulted in more deaths than the building of any single project.
Well,
by
they've
human
been using slave labor,
history.
So it's not surprising.
Exactly. What airline company was the first to serve in-flight food?
Pan Am.
This is just a good guess. Pan Am everything.
United.
Cue the. It wasn't United.
Untidy Airlines, as my dad used to call
them. TWA.
Yeah, cue the Catch Me If You Can music, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good movie.
In air miles, is San Francisco closer to Honolulu or New York?
In that map, yes.
Honolulu.
Yeah, it says it's closer to Honolulu.
All right.
2,400 miles as opposed to New York City straight across as the crow flies, 2,570 miles.
Wow.
That's a lot of miles. The English call it the French Riviera, but the French call it
the Riviera.
Nice.
That place.
The Riviera. Yeah. That was good. No?
Nice.
They call it the Golden Coast, but they don't say it in English.
Oh.
The Golden Coast.
Côte d'Azur.
We're going to have to do a
quick cut there, but don't worry, Judy. We're going to be back soon enough. The time has come to say goodbye, Professor Hill Vasquez.
Goodbye.
Professor Oljar.
Later.
Professor Evans.
Take care.
Professor Maggio.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Professor Conan.
Have a good weekend.
Professor Chow.
See ya.
And Professor Nico Seymour.
A good night, y'all.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu.
tweet to us on Twitter at AskTheProfessor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced by Javon Holland, technically directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.